Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
Doing well.
Pretty good.
12 days.
Today.
Denzel Curry.
Miami, Florida.
Wrestling.
Red Bull.
When?
Now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Rise and Grind, a.k.a. Flashdance.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Palm Trees, a.k.a. Dendrophiliac.
Hey, yo, this your boy Denzel Curry, a.k.a. Zeltron, 6 billion in his BZ.
Yeah, this is your third favorite podcast to waste time with. It's The Real. Denzel, what's happening?
Ain't nothing but a bitch. You feel me? What's happening, dog?
Everything's good. We're down in your neck of the woods.
Hey, yes, you are, but we ain't living in the woods. We living in the palm trees down here, boy. This is Miami. You got to get it right or get lost.
Break down what this is right now. It's a Red Bull event where you are going against all three members of Flatbush Zombies.
Nah, actually, they're already dead. That's why the name is Flatbush Zombies. You feel me? It's just Zeltron formulating on their ass. You feel me?
But it's wrestling.
Yeah, it's wrestling related. So it's like, is the winner already, like, decided?
Nah, bro. It's the crowd, bro. You think we just going to rig it? You guys are something else, man.
You're from out here.
Exactamundo.
But you don't live here anymore.
Nope.
Why not?
Because.
Well, what was growing up here like?
Hot, humid. Very crazy. There's a beautiful women, beautiful beaches, and very hectic and rude at the same time.
The women and the beaches?
They could be.
Yeah.
You know. I ain't going to say it, but you know. You know, guys. But nah, it was cool. It was cool.
Do you still find that you run with the same crowd that you ran with when you grew up here?
Yeah, I mean, send me them coming to the show right now. You know, I run with my brother Mook, you know. Mm-hmm. He was also in Raider Clan with me. You know, I still keep in contact with some of the guys from Clan and, you know, some of my childhood friends. And my best friend is actually living in L.A. with me that I've known since I was 12 years old. This is my homie.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Is he a good roommate?
He was my roommate. He lived with us, you know. He lived with us at the ULT house because it was his mom's house originally until his mom moved out. And then I moved in, and that became the ULT house.
It sounds like a sitcom. Like, I'm sort of into it. Was one of you guys, like, the clean one? What was the messy one?
You know, everybody had their fair share of messes and stuff. But when we clean up the house, we clean up the house.
So when you come back here for an event like this, is everybody in your phone hitting you up?
Yes.
And how many?
I don't pick up.
How many of those people will be coming here tonight?
A lot of people, like 2,500 people.
Damn.
Not of my list.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just to show, you know. But when it comes down to, like, my guess is my family.
Do you still consider yourself, like, a South Florida rapper?
Yes. I'm from here.
No, of course, yeah.
I take it with me everywhere I go.
So your sound is still South Florida?
Still South Florida.
Your attitude is still South Florida?
I mean, I would say my mood is me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my attitude is me.
Your energy?
Me.
Is Red Bull?
No. That's an energy drink. You can't drink me, son.
Ladies.
What's the difference between living here and living in L.A. like?
I mean, L.A. has more opportunities, man. Like, I just closer to my work, you know. Like, yeah, you can get in a studio out here, but I want to be able to experience something different, something that I'm not familiar with, because I'm familiar with everything that's out here already. I'm unfamiliar with the cultures out there in L.A., so I want to learn them.
You're still unfamiliar at this point?
Yes.
Having lived out there for...
like, almost 2 years.
Yeah. So what's new to you?
What's new to me, man? Just, like, you can't go to certain areas. That's, like, that's new to me.
But, like, Runyon Park has, like, cougars running around, bobcats.
Man, I seen a skunk for the first time.
Congratulations.
You've never seen a skunk in South Florida?
No. You'll see a possum before you see a skunk, bro.
So what was that like?
Weird, because I'm like, damn, I could get sprayed by one of these, and I'll be stank. But then again, I live in Cali, so everybody probably just think I smell like weed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really good as weed, but I really smell like piss from a skunk.
When you think of South Florida, you think of Rick Ross.
Yeah.
You think of Triple C's.
Yeah.
You think of...
Pitbull.
Pitbull.
Yeah, of course.
Flo Rida.
Yep.
Trina, Trick Daddy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gunplay.
Yep.
Which is also part of Triple C's.
Gloria Estefan.
She's from... Oh, yeah, she is from here.
How dare you try to write Gloria out of the Miami narrative?
I don't try to. I just forgot. Guy with the glasses.
But when you come back down here, do you have a certain, like, frame of mind when you return?
Yep, my frame of mind is get in and get out.
Well, why is that, though?
Because, man, I spent most of my life here. I already know what to expect.
So do you enjoy being on the road more than you enjoy just being situated at home, or do you like...
I like stability, but when I get too comfortable, I need movement, you know? It's like a best of both worlds type thing. So when I'm, like, at the house too long, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go back out there in the world. But when I'm out there in the world, I'll just be like, okay, I've been here for a long time. Let me go back home.
You're growing up here. You went to art school. You went to Dash.
It's actually right down the street.
First of all, did you guys have like a football team? Did you guys?
Nope. Dash? Football team? Hell no.
What was the, did you guys have like a mascot? Nothing. No sports teams.
Nah, Dash Phantoms? Come on, bro. That's the wackest.
What were they good at?
Art.
Did you have a specialty? Painting? Did you just do
my
music?
My specialty is what I got paid for now.
To wrestle.
No, not to wrestle.
They usually have like, you know, they split you up into doing
Visual performing.
Oh, you talk about strands.
Yeah.
There's industrial design. They had film, which was what I was in. They had architecture also. And I think they had fine art and creative writing. I was wanted to be in a creative writing class, but they was like, oh, that's for advanced students. And none of the advanced students got a five. Got a 6 out of 6 on the FCAT rights, and I'm the only one that did. Me Whoa. And a couple other people, only a handful of people, like 5 people, and I was one of them.
What made you want to be like in film?
If you hang out with me for a day, I'm going to randomly just quote movies every day.
What's your favorite movies?
Shoot, sometimes from Pulp Fiction, sometimes it could be from Anchorman, sometimes it could be from 40-Year-Old Virgin, Animatrix, The Vow. What else? Kill Bill Volume 1, Volume 2, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, just Requiem for a Dream, just anything, you know? Even Daredevil series. I really quote movies and cartoons.
So what did school do to sort of like further that process that you had already like, you know, undertaken?
Kick me out.
Oh.
That's what furthered the process. Them kicking me out made me want to be like, okay, I'm going to take this serious and I'm going to show you. You guys fucked up.
Well, why'd you get kicked out?
Because they thought I wasn't up to their standards. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was like an academic thing? It was just
an academic thing. It was like, okay, we don't think he's best for the school. They didn't think I was going to be the artist I was going to be and whatever. So I was just like, all right, cool.
Wait, how's that conversation go down, though?
Now, they called me to the office. They called my parents, and it was like, we're kicking your son out. He made it to the next grade, but we're kicking him out.
And what do you do at that point?
Oh, I started taking rap serious.
But was it that simple that it was just like, yo, you got
to take rap and art serious. Like, I took it mad serious. But how do you know it was a hobby?
But how do you explain that to your parents at that point? Because like they could hear one thing from your principal and then one thing from you.
Man, they wasn't trying to hear nothing from me, man. They was hearing you got kicked out. Period. You got to go back to your home school. Period. That's all it was. Try to get back to another art school. They wasn't trying to accept me. Whatever. So I went to my homeschool, which was Kara City, but that's the place I needed to be, because it was just like when I was writing the music I was writing then, I was actually in the belly. I was in the gutter. I was there. I seen things. I seen crazy things. And I'm just like, yo, I could write about this. Right when I was in Raider Clan, it was like, this is the perfect subjects to write about. Just releasing pain and anger, because I was already angry. I was just, you know, didn't know how to express it until probably Imperial.
Did your parents listen to that first project?
No, my parents split up after I got kicked out. Like, my mom left and went to Miramar and stayed there. She said, there's a choice. You either live with me or live with your father. But I knew if I lived with my mom, it would have been, you know, like, it would have been at odds. I knew me and my mom would have been at odds with things, because she probably wouldn't understand, like, what I wanted to do with my life. My father, just like, you look, he's pretty simple. So it was like, yo, make your bed up. My dad's
military,
in the Marines.
Yeah.
So my dad's like, you know, get up in the morning, make sure your room is clean before you leave the house. Make sure you lock up the house. You could go to school, get good grades, and you could be able to stay out. But the street lights come on, you're in the house. You know, I don't want you in the street. This, that, and the third. Continue doing your music. Do what you got to do, because I know that's what you like doing. And that's what I like doing.
And so what kind of equipment did you have?
I just had a $100 microphone. And before that, it was $5 microphone from Walmart.
Like USB?
Yeah. I mean, nah. It was literally like a skinny microphone. Like whatever we could find to get our hands on to be able to record, that's what it was. And I actually have to thank my mom, because my mom was the one who got me that mic when she thought I wanted video games. And I was like, nah, I want a microphone. She got it for me when we went to Best Buy. I remember that.
You're taking rap serious. You have this mind for movies. Certainly, like, what you're spitting is like super cinematic. did you think that you could do all aspects of like your career? You could manage yourself, you could promote yourself, you could film yourself, you could actually write all your stuff, you could produce your stuff.
I mean, before my manager came into the picture, like, you, which was really early, because me and him been working together for almost 9 years now.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Mark.
Yep.
Yeah, shout out to Mark. It was just me, my brother. My brother was the one who found Forbes, who did all the Raider Clan videos. Mark knew Luke, but me and Mark was only homies. Like, he would just pull up to the crib, we'll hang out. He'll take me to, like, other studios. He the one who introduced me to Reese and stuff. But me and my brother was mainly doing things together, and we would go. My dad was driving us around. My dad would, like, wait outside the shows until I get finished and pick me up and take me back home. Whenever that didn't fall through because he was tired from work, like, he'll send one of my brothers to come with me. And the only reason why I was able to stay out a certain amount of time, it was if it wasn't for Mookie, which is my brother, or Mark, which is my manager. Like, that was the only two ways I could stay out. Long as I check in, Mark would be like, hey, yo, I called your old boy. He said, da-da-da, this, that, a third. Finish what you need to finish, but get home because you got school tomorrow. I was like, all right, cool. And then you got Moot. He was like, hey, look, we made it here. Like, we need a ride. Can you pick us up? Or, hey, we're coming back to the house right now. We just got finished. We're just up on stage. And that's what he'll give us, like, leeway. Long as we doing something. Because he knew we was doing something productive. There was one time I went home, like, mad late, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, and my dad was going to beat my ass until I realized I could run. And I was like, wait a minute. I ain't going to let my daddy punch me in the face. I'm gone. You're going to have to catch me.
So what's the first song that you made that you're like, yo, I can feel like I'm turning the corner right now?
When I was working on Mischievous South, like, the first one, Volume 1, because Twistin' became really popular. And then Gankin', they came out around the same time, and that's when me and JK became friends. He also was a roommate of mine when Shane's parents moved out, once my best friend's parent moved out. When those two songs became popular, and then after that, it was like Strictly for My Raiders and stuff when that became popular. But when Threats came out, that's when we knew, like, yo, we done turned some heads on this one.
Is there something that signifies that more than just, like, the numbers that you see?
It was really more of the feeling, because people would turn up to it, and I was like, yo, it was crazy. Mark's thing was, when he first heard Head Crack, which was a beat that Space Ghost Perk produced, Mark was like, wait, he's lyrical and he could do turn up shit? Oh, it's a rap. It was a rap. And I could sing. Like, I was, like, experimenting with singing back then, too, because I was in choir when I was, like, in third grade.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I read an interview that you did where they were, like, you know, you said that they were that you were going to go into, like, more of an R&B direction for Taboo and stuff. Yeah. And they were like, well, what R&B singers do you want to work with? And you were like, I am the R&B singer.
Yeah.
Like, were you, like, actually trained as a singer? Like, besides, like, being in chorus in, like, third grade, but, like...
I mean, that, and then I was, like, singing randomly by myself and stuff like that. Like, there are tracks, like, Lean and Purple Females where I was singing. There was stuff on Nostalgic where I was singing. But mainly, even on stuff like Blackland Goddess, like, the first one, where I was singing on it, too. And, yeah, that's where it all came from. Or Art of God, like, if you listen to Strictly for My Raiders and stuff. This Life, it was mad stuff I was like on. Even the Metro Zoo song Wave Cap, if you want to go way back, that was the first time me and I ever made a beat, and that was with my DJ, which is Pashtunaut. So all these guys that I'm telling you about, I stuck with them for years. Like, no changing the management, no changing the DJ, you know. I don't even like changing the friends often.
And did you guys all push each other?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I think Mark was like the driving force for that. Because Mark and Posh, they were the driving force for me to be like, yo, look, this is what it is. This is what you got to do. You know, because when I was with Metro Zoo, I was just having fun. I was just, like, having fun doing my music. Raider Clan, you know, everybody, I felt like everyone was sleep on me then because I was the goofy one and the youngest one. So,
well, I mean, not to spend too much time on Mark, but I mean, he was watching our videos like a decade ago. So, true. Like, you know, so yeah. let's make the entire interview about Mark if we can. You know, what made you trust him as opposed to, like, anybody else?
He was already my dog, you know, and he was already, like, I already seen, like, a big brother figure, like, in Mark, you know what I'm saying? Even though we bump heads sometimes, like, that's what brothers do, like, that shit happens, you know what I mean? And you know, I just seen, like, he had my best interest, And like, I remember when I, like, when we was in the car and I got tired of people hitting me up and I was like, bro, I need a manager. And he was like, fool, I'll manage you. And I was like, for real? He was like, yeah, yeah, I'll manage you. And I was like, all right. And I remember this day because we was driving together and we was in this old golden Lexus. It broke down. Like, yo. Yeah, that was a legend.
Great until then.
No, it was still great. Like, I remember, man, it was crazy. Like, him borrowing his sister car, me buying CDs and stuff like that. And my Chronic CD just magically ended up missing. We ain't gonna say nothing about that. Yeah, but yeah, like him driving me to Poncho's house, shout out to Poncho, and just like, you know, just recording and everything.
When did you feel the difference between being a South Florida guy and knowing that there was like an audience beyond?
I don't know. I just knew from the internet, but when I actually experienced it, like leaving my city and going to like Cali, doing these ham parties and stuff, I was like, yo, this is real. This is real over here. Like, to us, we're like, they're like, yo, this guy's the GOAT. He's the greatest. Da-da-da. This, that, and the third. And back home, we was like, nigga, you ain't shit. Like, that's what it was back home.
Just that they didn't have love for you back here?
I mean, eventually they did after Nostalgia came out.
Mm-hmm.
When Nostalgia came out, that's when it was like, oh, shit, this guy's really the GOAT.
But you were just like a regular guy around here. It's when you went away that people saw. Is that what you're saying or no?
Yeah. Even when I went on tour and they seen I was killing it on tour and then I came home and that was like the first homecoming and I killed it. Mm-hmm. And they was like, yo, this is wild. I didn't expect to see that.
Was there a plan for you to keep going in one direction, or did you want to experiment in different ways and be like, look, I'm a master of a lot of different things. I don't have to just, you don't have to just like put me in one corner.
I mean, I went too experimental, which was on 3-2-0.
According to who? You?
Yeah. Well,
if you look
people
back.
And myself. Okay. Yeah. Like 3-2-0 Planet Shrooms, like I got too experimental, you know what I'm saying? Experimenting with drugs, experimenting with sounds, experimenting with everything. And then, you know, I had to go back. I had to backtrack and see, like, okay, what I did wrong. All right, I did this wrong. I was trying to emulate somebody I idolized, you know, and it didn't work. I should have just been me from the start. So I went back to doing the roots, like where my roots were, and that was in Raider Clan and stuff like that. So,
well, how do you feel about the people who were just like, yo, but that's my favorite project?
You know, kudos to them. That's your opinion, but I knew I messed up in some way. But at the same time, like, I learned from that mistake, and that's why you get the albums you got now. So I had to learn that at some point, and I'm just glad it wasn't later in my career instead of it was early in my career.
You know, with Raider Clan, you know, you've been tweeting about how much you want to see Rocky and Space Ghost Perp, like, get back together, how, like, you miss those days, and, you know, it's been, like, a running, you know, thing for the past few months, I guess.
Yeah, it's slowly flowing to itself, but you know, I don't think Perp and Rocky are up for it. Like, I talked to Perp, and Perp's just like, look, man, he just gonna have to get over it. You know what I'm saying? We could talk it out or whatever. Rocky is just like, bro, I'm not talking to that man. Like, you don't understand. This is what it is, and that's what it's gonna be. And I'm just like, yo, but you guys were dope together. Like, you know, that's like, that's what it is. Even when it came down to my situation, like, what made me think about their situation, a similar situation I was in, was when me and X wasn't on good terms and stuff like that. And I could have been Rocky. I could have been like that situation, like, all right, fuck this nigga. Like, fuck that, you know? But instead, like, I talked to X, and I was just like, yo, like, I feel this type of way, straight up. I'm going to be real with you. I'm not going to say it on the internet. I'm going to say it to you. And then he asked me questions, and I gave him answers, and I asked him questions. He gave me answers. And then that's what it was. And we was able to talk that out as men. And I was like, you know what? That works. And me and him wanted to come back together and work together again, you know? And I felt like that whole situation could have been something different if they would have just talked, you know? It's never underestimate the power of talking. Or communication.
And how did you figure that out?
Just by talking my problems out with the person I had a problem with.
Do you feel like there's anything to getting a lot of success really early?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, man, bitches come at you. Like, niggas come at you because they don't like you for some reason. You know?
Or no reason.
Or no reason. But they're going to find a reason. But just different things, man. Drugs, like, the fast life, you know. Because when all that's gone, man, like, when you don't have the sauce no more, they're going to move on, bro. You know? And I know it.
Who are some OGs that came to you and sort of, like, gave you good advice on how to move with your career?
I ain't going to lie. Mr. Motherfucking Esquire.
That's
like,
dope.
He was the first one.
Yeah.
He was the first dude. Like, he was like, yo, don't. He was like, bruh, when these labels come at you, bruh, wait. I remember this show because it was when Princess Nokia.
Yep.
Back when she was going by Destiny. Mm-hmm. Like, it was her and Hawk and Wiki from Rat King.
Yep.
And Mr. Motherfucking Esquire. I went to their show. You know, it was only a little bit of people there, but I still went to support because, like, those were my homies. And
yeah,
Esquire was there, and he was like, yo, man, I'm going to tell you like this, because you're on a good path right now. Just wait. Just wait for it. Don't be like me. Just wait.
So this is after he signed to Republic Universal. Or whatever.
Yeah. He told me straight up, wait. Just wait.
How hard is that to hear, by the way? Because if you're popping and you feel like the heat.
He was actually the first one to really tell me, like, yo, wait.
And you did?
Yeah, I waited.
Yeah.
I waited because, you know, it was like these interviews, my early interviews after Nostalgia came out and it was seeing the traction, you know. Shady Records wanted to sign me. And I remember being in that interview, and then they was they was like pretty much on it. It was like, all right, we already know we're not signing. But I was just like, you know, talk to them, and I was just like, what can you do for me? I can't do for myself and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, you know, we could do a lot, da da da. And I met up with, what was his name, Paul Rosenberg?
Paul Rosenberg, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul Rosenberg. I thought that nigga was a security or something.
He's like a refrigerator with a head.
Yeah. Big as fuck. I was like, yo, who's this wrestling ass nigga coming in the dough right now? Bald head.
Who else did you meet with?
Shit, I don't even remember. But I remember there's Atlantic people came in. It was like, nigga, never signed to Atlantic. And I was like, why not? You see what happened to Lupe Fiasco? I was like, that's what happened. And then I was like, no way. And then I was like, it was like, yeah, who else they got? And it was like, oh, they got Wiz Khalifa. And I was like, I love Wiz, but I didn't like Rolling Papers. I'm gonna be real. Like, I didn't like
Rolling Papers one.
The first one, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I liked his early work, you know. And I'm just like, damn, so Atlantic really corrupts the artists before, you know what I'm saying, before the, you know, if they have their own thing going, like, it's dope. And then I just started to really, like, just want to do things independently and just own all my stuff. And then one day I just stumbled on documentaries back when I was living at the ULT house. And, you know, one of them was the documentary on NWA. Dr. Dre, you know, when it was talking about the Ruthless Records, like Jerry Heller and all that stuff, and the dispute with Ice Cube and everything about owning everything, and, you know, and I thought to myself, and then they said, it said something about how Suge Knight got involved because he was already doing bodyguard work and stuff like that, and the deal that he struck, he was like, okay, Ruthless Records could keep everything else, but with this contract, they could get whatever they want. I just want their masters. That's all I want. That's it. So he studied the game, and I was like, what does that even mean? I didn't know what it means. Didn't know what it means at all. So when I went in these interviews and stuff, I was just like, dude, I want my masters. And seems like none of them was willing to give them up. No one. They wanted to keep them. And that's when I figured out, like, this is where my money is.
But did you ever think, like, you know, there's a possibility that that isn't the right way? Like, where I was, Mark, were you, was anybody just like, well, maybe, like, this is just the way it is and we can't change that? And, like, maybe a label is the way to go?
Nah, there's always a way. Because we meant it, like, I'm like, bro, I made a really, really good album that, like, shaped what South Florida is, kind of, in a closet. You know what I mean? Same with, Imperial. I made that in a closet before we took it to a real studio and fleshed out all the tracks. Like, all this stuff was made homegrown. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I want to keep my masters and I want to keep my creative control. I don't want nobody to control me, you know what I'm saying? I don't want people to advise me when something's a bad idea. But when it comes down to my situation, they got to know who the boss is. They ask me for what I want to do, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I don't be a dick about it. I don't just be like, oh, the boss, this, that. You got to follow everything I say because, you know, people could be divas and shit. But me, I'm just like, I've been working with you guys for years. So y'all ain't going to steer me on the wrong path. And, you know, I'm going to make the best shit possible.
Hey, gang. Jeff here. Just want to take 1 second to interrupt this podcast with Denzel Curry to let you know that if you go to itsthereal.com/shop, you can support your guys It's The Real this coming holiday season, or even get a great gift for you and your loved ones. Get some stocking stuffers, get your Christmas wares.
Well, hold on, Jeff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of Christmas wares are you talking about?
I'm talking about oven mitts.
Oh, wait,
I'm
wait.
Talking about...
Do we still have oven mitts in stock?
No, you want to know what Nelson just said that we're out.
Thank you, Nelson.
Yeah.
Nelson in the stock room. No oven mitts.
No oven mitts. Sorry, yeah, guys.
All right, well.
But we do have t-shirts and sweatshirts and notebooks called rhyme books.
That all sounds great. Where can I go to buy them?
You can always go to itsthereal.com/shop. Get yours today. And support your needy friends.
That's right. Eric.
Here at It's The Real.
Jeff.
Yeah.
And Nelson.
Nelson in the stock room.
And now back to Denzel Curry. Our friend Hip Hop told us about you way back.
Yeah.
And
shout out to Hip Hop.
Yeah. Huge fan of yours. What is your guys' relationship?
I mean, we briefly met, you know, but he's like a really good dude. Like the guys speak highly of him. Pretty sure he speaks highly of me. But everybody that I came in contact with that knows Hip Hop is like, it's like, yo, man, he's a mad good dude and stuff like that. And he's really been in the game for a minute and like helping with, you know, like I think Drake and all them guys. Well,
a lot of people, Rockefeller, yeah.
Well, what was it like even meeting, you know, him, or like you meet like very like strange people, like meaning like people that nobody gets to meet. Hip Hop, Andre 3000. Like yeah. what was meeting Andre like the first time, and I'm guessing other times as well.
I mean, I only met him once.
Oh really?
And that one time sparked the person that you see now, cuz I didn't make Ultimate until after I met him. I didn't get the courage to be able to do half the stuff I did until I met him.
What did he say to you?
He was just like, don't get bored, bro. Just like, make that shit. Whatever gets it hot, bro, make that shit. You know, just never get bored with it. That's why I experiment a lot. You know, even if you listen to Taboo, it's all experimented, but it all worked. So that means I experimented the right way.
Well, what do you think the difference is between experimenting now and experimenting a couple years ago?
Experimenting a couple years ago, I wasn't Denzel. I was trying to be Andre.
So how does he come into your life?
Mark said like he was doing an art installation, and I went. Me and my ex, we went, and everybody was asking Andre questions, and I was like, all right, damn, this is my only time I get to meet Andre, so I gotta have my questions ready. I was like, okay, what am I gonna ask him? All right, cool. In my head, I was like, all right, I know what I'm gonna ask him. Boom. Went up to him, asked him what I needed to know and how he just managed to make good albums after a while, you know, and just like keep, like, I don't know how he did it, how he was able to just do what he had to do. He was like, bro, I just have fun with it. He's like, I don't get bored. I get bored easily. So
did he know who you were?
No. I told him he was going to know, and I kind of wish he does know.
Well, what other, like, they always say, like, don't meet your idols or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, that's a good experience with somebody that you, like, have looked up to. Have there been any other people that you've looked up to that have been, like, you know, formulative in that way?
Yeah.
I mean, no. Not, well, besides the RZA. Well, the RZA, actually.
Oh, and he came up to you and he was, like.
He was tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The RZA's tight. Shout out to Wu-Tang. He did not let me down. Like, you know, I'm a Wu-Tang fan.
Yeah. And his kid wanted to take a picture with you. And yeah. That's so dope. I mean, like, were you, like. What was going through your mind when he comes up to you?
I was just shocked. I was like, yo, this is the RZA, bro. Like, and I was like, you killed that Kill Bill soundtrack, dude. But I was like, yo, this is 36 Chainless right here. This is Bobby Digital. Like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Like, most people be like, yo, man, like, they know what Wu-Tang Clan is. But, bro, I'm a Wu-Tang Clan fan, bro. Like, I'm just like, bro, this is a legend that's telling me his son is a fan. I'm like, yo, this is wild. That was mad interesting to me. And then he came to the studio when I was working on Taboo early. And, you know, he was giving me pointers. And he was like, yo, I appreciate what you did for my son. You know, let's talk about what direction you're going in. I played him a couple tracks. And he was like, oh, so I see where you're going in. Then he played me Queen Bohemian Rhapsody, and then we was talking about that for like mad long, how the transitions and the tracks and everything, which is somewhat similar to what you hear on like on Nostalgic and what you hear on Taboo, which is the different sides of the tracks when they just flip to a whole different side.
But isn't it funny when you like learn what you did sort of just like naturally before, and now you do it with purpose, and you're just like, whoa, I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah. Cause even then it was just like, yo, I remember I met Kendrick Lamar randomly. He like clapped my hand up, and I'm like, what? That's crazy. This was overseas, and we was all backstage watching him perform. Like, that was dope.
Like, it's gotta just be like the most like validating thing to like watch somebody who, you know, who you look up to, or whoever, or just like is operating on some level, come up to you and just be like, you know, I fuck with what you're doing.
No, okay. I was just gonna say, when did you like learn that you had that power? When did you accept that you were like someone of note and you're putting out stuff that is gonna last forever?
I don't know, man. I just live day to day, just doing it, you know. And people just come up to me, man. I remember recently at Afropunk, Pusha T came up to me and let me know like, yo, you're the future of this. And I was like, that's crazy. Like, bro, I used to listen to clips when I was mad young.
But you accept that and you say like, all right, and you run with it, right?
Yeah.
That's wild.
What about when Joe Budden like shouts you out in his podcast?
That was, I didn't expect that.
Who let you know about that?
Mark did.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Mark. It was somebody randomly like, yo, it was a fan, actually. A fan was like, yo, Joe Budden's talking about you in his podcast. And then the thing he said, he was like, I heard some pretty hard albums in some very unexpected places. And he was like, that new Denzel Curry goes hard. Like, it's nuts. And then I'm just like, okay, bro, I've been rapping like this like the whole time. Like, where is it going? But that's when I realized, like, okay, I really did something with this album conceptually. And with the R&B tracks, it was just like, yo, melody wins. No matter what people say, bro, melody is going to win. If people from dudes to females could sing to it, it's going to win. Because, you know what I hear on a daily? Like, you know, they could name a song where they're singing. But at the same time, like, people, like, old people, they're like, I don't really listen to rap. Like, I don't like rap. I don't like rap, but I like this, you know? But the when they say, I don't like rap, but I like this, and then I think about the track and I'm like, okay, what do they like about it? Oh, it feels good, you know? The lyrics, yeah. I mean, it's rap, but that hook got them because it's singing. They could sing to it. It's like, I don't really listen to a lot of rap, but I like listening to this.
But I think
melody wins, bro.
Melody does
win.
One
of the best songs that Method Man has ever done had Mary J. Blige singing.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Tupac's catalog, yeah, he has some aggressive and hard raps that we all know. But the songs like Keep Your Head Up, How Do You Want It, they stand the test of time because that melody's in there. Same with Jenna Juice. You can sing Jenna Juice to this day because that melody. Rolling down the street, smoking and sipping on gin and juice. Like, it's melody. That's going to win all the time. Like, Superstar by Lupe Fiasco. You know what I'm saying? If you are what you say. Like, melody is going to kill it.
Have you met Lupe? I'm bummed
that you didn't sing the Casey and JoJo part.
Me and Lupe are born on the same day.
Really?
Me, Lupe, Ice-T, and The Weeknd. We're all born on the same day.
And you see the similarities between the four of you?
We're all weird, yeah.
Wait, do you know that because, like Twitter accounts tweet, like, happy birthday?
Nah, I just know. I didn't know me and The Weeknd are born on the same day, and I wanted to see the similarities between me and him.
So do you get into like astrology and all that? And like,
I dive deep into astrology. Really dive deep into it.
Your rising and your moon and all that.
Everything. My moon is Virgo. So
what does that mean?
Virgo means that's my attitude, like, towards things and my emotions and stuff like that. That's how I react, you know?
So when you read your horoscope, you don't take it as just generic. You're like, yes, that specifically is.
Nah, you
got to
go
through
by birth time and everything. It's all a big thing, you know.
And so everything.
Okay, wait, but explain this. Okay, so I have a twin brother, him. And so, like, we're different people.
Y'all born at two different times. Y'all not born at the same time. So he's like,
well, but technically we were because
y'all
it's
born
a
at the same time. But think about it, like, it could be a minute apart.
It was a minute apart. But
exactly, that 1 minute could change everything about your personality.
Do you think everything's written?
everything is written, bro. History repeats itself. And if you look at everybody, everybody goes into like their own journey, you know. It's like the Odyssey. Everybody has their own, like, you know, hero's tale that they're going on. So, like, yeah, we may be different people. We got different occupations and stuff like that. But at the same time, we're all trying to, like, find our purpose and what we're doing with our lives and stuff. It's like a tale, bro. Oh, everybody's life is a tale. It's whether you die young or live old, you know.
So do you find that you don't take the highs too high and the lows too low then?
Yeah, I just take everything with balance. I hate being uncomfortable, but I know that's the only way I'm going to grow.
So that feeling that you had when you were kicked out of...
It made me uncomfortable, but it made me grow.
How do you convey that to your parents at that age, though?
You can't, because you don't understand it at that age.
Did you know what the next 4 years were going to look like for you, though?
No, I just did what I wanted to do.
And also what Mark wanted you to do.
Nah, it was before. I was already doing what I wanted to do before Mark. Mark was just guiding me in the right direction.
And what do your parents think now?
They're like, damn. Just one thing just turned into this one big thing.
Do they listen to your music?
Yeah, my mom does. My mom does a lot. My dad does too.
Do they critique it? Do they?
My mom is the critic.
Really?
Yeah, my mom is.
In what sense?
The cursing.
Oh.
No, she likes the overall message with everything I'm doing. She just think I talk about a whole bunch of negative shit. I guess because she went back and heard all my early Raider Clan stuff, and it was like 666 and like, like Satan, like, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not a Satan worshiper. I'm not.
Do you still perform those songs with the same energy that you had back then?
Nah, I don't perform my Raider Clan stuff anymore. I perform my new stuff, mm-hmm. But I mentioned Raider Clan in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned the fact that, you know, like the earliest I go back is Threats.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what started it all.
When was the last time that you didn't use vowels in words? Like putting like V's and X's and...
Oh, you talk about the hieroglyphics.
Yeah.
I used that for my name Zeltron. I took the E and the O out and just put two X's.
But when was the last time that you normally wrote in the King's English?
Shit, I wrote that. You mean like art thou this?
That's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. I never... wrote like that ever. Thou shalt not be a bitch.
Your mom's not gonna like that.
Be cursing. A biatch.
Yeah, this is a Red Bull event. Like, what is it like for you? You're somebody who used to be like super underground,
right?
And then Red Bull comes in,
right?
Talk about like, you know, what it's like to have like brands reaching out to you.
Hey, man, it's a good thing, you know, because it just shows that hard work pays off, you know. I stayed out of trouble for a long time, you feel me? Like, I don't get in trouble with the law. I ain't got no accusations out here, you feel me? I don't got no babies, you know what I mean?
Babies are not against the law.
No, yeah. Babies aren't against the law, you feel me? But what should be against the law is not being able to take care of your baby, you feel me?
That is true.
I'm just saying, like, I don't really got that much stuff under my belt, and I could just continue to live my life. And nothing thrown at me. And that's why they're reaching out, because, you know, they like the energy, they like the music, and they like the person I portray and the person I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they like your energy and their energy drinks, right?
It's like
I'm actually drinking a sugar-free Red Bull right now.
And how's it taste?
It actually tastes like there's sugar in it.
You know, as somebody who has worked with Adidas, you work with Red Bull, what's a brand that, like, you would never get sponsored by that you'd love to get sponsored by? Like Glade's plugins, for example. Like, you know, like, what's something that's, like, so far left field that you would just be like, I want to...
Everlast.
The rapper?
The boxing?
Yes.
Oh. The boxing gloves and
exactly.
The shorts?
Yep.
You do Muay Thai.
Yes, I do.
And you wear Everlast gloves?
Nah, man. They got this thing called Yokai.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what Yokai gloves is?
I don't.
They're bigger than the average boxing gloves, I'll tell you that.
Ladies,
your Nardwar interview is legendary because it's like watching someone with a magician. Every time he brings something out, you are absolutely shocked,
right?
That he like thought of you, that he did his research. Did you not know what a Nardwar interview was going to be like?
I knew what it was going to be like because I've watched Nardwar for years. It
right.
was just like the first time where I'm just like, yo, this is crazy.
Did you end up keeping all of the gifts?
Exactly, I did.
Wow. How big was
Why
the...
Why would I throw away the gifts, bro?
No, I don't know if he takes them back, yeah.
No.
Unless
well, he
like
took
a
couple
con.
Of stuff back, but like, you know, I asked him, like, one thing he was going to take back was the JT Money stuff, and I was like, no, let me keep that. Because the reason why he was going to take it back, because, like, people, like, throw it away or discard it. And I'm like, no, bro, like, this is a gift. I want this.
So you didn't anticipate that he was going to dig up what he dug up?
Yeah.
Do you know who he spoke to?
I could tell he went back to MySpace. I don't know how he found my MySpace, boy, but crazy. I don't even like my Facebook pictures.
Do you consider... I think you've gotten a lot of great press recently on the new project. I think a lot of people are more aware of you now through things like Joe Budden and through a lot of people who may not have talked about you before. Do you consider this to be like a turning point for you?
This is a very big turning point because I just did a sold out tour, like a big sold out tour. None of, like, even if we did small venues, the small venues ended up having two shows back to back. Like Toronto, it was a small venue, but it got over capacity, so they had to put the show in two nights.
Real fans,
real people.
Know all the lyrics.
Yes. The first show was cool. The second show was crazy, like rowdy. And I was like, whoa. And it spiraled out of control because the fight broke out. And it was just like, with security and this kid who was crowd surfing.
Damn.
But I stopped them from beating the kid up, and I let the kid go back inside. And I told him, like, to crowd surf and, you know, just enjoy the show and stuff. And, you know, it was already fucked up, so I was just like, damn. Okay, I know what to do. Let's just make it spiral even more out of control. Where it was fights, bloody knuckles. We threw a girl in the crowd. It was crazy.
Where was the girl originally?
Oh, she was in front of the stage. We took her out, and me and Trunks, like, literally flung her into the crowd, and they caught her.
Damn.
And we was like, yo, I thought we was going to get sued for this. Like, I really thought we was going to get sued for that.
You did not.
No, we didn't, because we caught her.
So now, if it is a turning point, where do you move on from a sold-out run?
I mean, I just got to keep working. I just keep working on the next product and just keep rapping. I'm just doing what I do for fun. Like, I like thinking of things on top of the head, you know? Like, just experimenting, just having fun with this thing, man, because the moment I treat it like work, it's going
to
be stupid.
So you really do go back to that Andre, you know, moments over and over again.
Yeah, I just do it. Just do it.
So who inspires you now?
It was Denzel.
That's it.
Washington.
it could come from anywhere, man. It could come from just seeing my homies go hard, and I'm like, damn, that flow is crazy. I got to think of a crazy flow. And I just, like, think of stuff. Sometimes I think about melodies, man. I think about melodies every day. And I would say, like, right now, like, my biggest inspiration is Bruce Lee. Just being able to be like water. And that goes with me doing martial arts, and that goes with also doing music, because I actually became like the water while working on this project, because you have tracks on the album that don't sound like each other, you know?
But are you a water sign?
No, I'm an air sign, but I'm close
to a
water
Eric.
Sign.
Don't you know anything?
I'm actually close to a water sign, though, because I could have been a Pisces. I'm just 3 days off.
Damn.
Like, on the 19th, I would have been a Pisces.
Yeah, but I was born on the 23rd of July, so I could have been a Cancer.
But you're a Leo.
I'm such a Leo.
Yeah.
But you knew that. you knew that the moment you met him.
Nah, I didn't know that the moment I met him. I knew it by when he told me.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a psychic?
Nah, I don't do that.
Why not?
I don't like talking to mediums about my future.
Cause
it's not... Like, sometimes I get religious, man. Like, you're not supposed to talk to mediums and stuff like that. I'm not with that.
Do you watch the show Medium on CBS?
Nah.
Do you watch any television?
Yeah, but I like watching UFC. Like, UFC is the only thing I watch in anime.
So the fighting thing is a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Muay Thai.
Muay Gong. I'm about to get in jiu-jitsu. My brother, De Niro Farrar, he just got in jiu-jitsu, so shout out to De Niro.
We heard that he's, like, your trainer.
Yeah, he's my trainer, but he's my older brother. Like, that's what he is. He's really my older brother.
And
we're so similar, like, in a lot of ways, though. It's just
when was he born?
He's a Gemini, so me and him click. It's that air sign thing, you know. It's him and I, the Quim and I.
When we spoke to Wiz, and he was talking about
his
martial arts stuff. he was like, this isn't to, like, get into fights. He's like, it's just to sort of make me into a better person. Do you believe in that as well?
That, I do, because I remember when, I was an asshole back in the day. I mean, I'm not an asshole now. I'm just, like, goofy as hell and a bit immature. But when I got into Muay Thai after I stopped smoking weed, man, I realized, like, I was calming myself down with a lot of things. And it was just like, it's like you go in there and you leave it. You leave it right there on the mat, whatever you're frustrated about. you know.
So there's focus.
It's either that in the studio. I have two ways of releasing it.
And you can get both those done in LA?
Yeah.
Do you ever like want to go elsewhere to sort of like get a different experience and get
Thailand?
Thailand.
Why Thailand?
I want to go to Thailand, and one place I would want to live is New Zealand.
Because?
New Zealand's beautiful.
Have you been?
Yes, I have.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know if you were just like, I've seen, you know, pictures on Google.
Not pictures. Yeah. No, I've literally been there, and it was beautiful. It was the most beautiful place on earth to me.
That's a long trip, by the way.
I don't care, but I would live there. If I had the chance to fly my entire family out there to live, I would do that.
Really?
Like family and friends. Oh, yeah, I would do that.
When did you go out there?
I went out there last year.
And were you on, like, the Lord of the Rings tour?
No, man. I was actually there for Power Rangers. It was crazy.
Wait, is that for real? You were there for Power Rangers?
I was there for Power Rangers, man. Tommy Oliver, you know, Green Ranger from the Mighty Morphin series. No. Yeah, like, he was like, yo, Denzel, come out here. Just experience this. I was like, all right, cool. I got a show out there anyway. And, man, I was on set with all that. I got pictures if you want to see it.
Please.
Yeah, man.
Are they on the internet, or are you just like phone? Looking on Eric's phone?
Nah, you gotta go on my Instagram. It's under D's Nuts. Man, it's not on there.
Damn,
bro. I was bullshitting.
You're a horrible person.
And you know this,
you're a
man.
Person.
Some of us just want to believe.
I know.
Wait. So, but you did read for. This is the worst. You did read for a part with Sean Penn?
I never read for that part.
But it was
another lie?
It was brought to you?
It was. Oh. I just didn't read it in time.
Well, follow-up question, why not?
I forgot to read it.
Oh.
This is before you had that.
Dude, I had a script for Mr. Pickles, didn't read it. I had a script for Teletubbies. No, it wasn't Teletubbies. I was just bullshitting. But yeah, definitely Mr. Pickles. I had a script for that.
Do you want to act?
I mean, no. Oh. There's already a Denzel in acting.
Right.
I'm going to change my name. If I'm going to become an actor, I'm going to change my name to Dennis.
Right. There's no Dennis's in acting.
Yeah, Dennis Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Were you named after Denzel Washington?
Yes, I was.
Really?
Yes.
So your parents are big cinephiles?
What?
No,
they like
just,
movies.
Yeah, no, they like Denzel.
Oh, all right.
Nah, yeah. It was just a name. Like my brother's name is Rashad, but we call him Mookie, and you know, Mookie is the name from is Spike Lee.
Yeah,
Do the Right Thing. So,
rapping, yes. Singing, yes. Acting, no.
Probably.
Probably.
It's just there's already a Denzel Washington. Like,
but you're not Denzel Washington.
He's fire though.
Yes,
he's a fire sign.
No, he's a fire actor. Like,
oh.
Training Day. Yeah. Bitch?
Well, actually, like, so we have a podcast called Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies, and it's us and the Locks watching movies. So
I like the Locks.
Yeah. And, you know, we're okay, too. But, so an argument that started up, like, very recently, which I think Sheik started.
Uh-huh.
Sheik Looch.
Yeah.
Denzel or De Niro? Who's your favorite?
That's a hard question. Because I like Cape Fear from De Niro.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I also like Bronx Tale.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Goodfellas. But at the same time, I like Training Day. I like Out of Time, Deja Vu, and Man on Fire.
Here's what Sheik's argument is. Sheik said that Denzel Washington has never put out a funny movie. And
that's
doesn't
why
have
he
that
puts
range.
De Niro back.
No, he never has put out a funny movie. All of them were like pretty much serious.
But does that matter to you?
Them. Like, did you see his performance in Training Day? Killed it.
Yeah.
Killed it.
But also, like, Sheik has, how we say, not great taste in movies. So, like, his favorite movie is, like, Little Nicky by Adam
what?
Sandler.
Hey, yeah. hey, look, bro.
No.
Look,
no,
bro.
No.
Don't talk
I know
about
that you,
Lil
like,
Nicky
you know,
me,
used
boy.
To fuck with, like, Satan and all that shit. But, like, yo.
Lil Nicky is my shit. Nah. Lil Nicky is my shit.
Why?
Dog, do you not see that movie? They
no.
had Quentin Tarantino in that bitch, and he was funny as fuck.
You do love Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, I do.
So do you care as much about your comedy as you do your serious stuff?
I'm
in
not
life.
Funny.
Oh, we noticed.
Yeah. You a bitch.
So tonight, you're going to be rapping, you're going to be wrestling, you're going to be wrestling.
And you're going to be acting because it's WWE.
Yep. Actually, it's Red Bull, bitch.
Yeah. Well, congratulations on everything so far. Congratulations, honestly, on taking Andre's words to heart and really, like, knowing that, like, you know, whatever you want to do is what you should do, and that you keep experimenting, and that you put out dope projects, and Taboo is awesome, and I hope that it just gets even better from here, and good luck tonight. Although, I guess you don't need luck, right? You already beat them?
Yeah, we already won.
Yeah.
There you go.
But thanks so much for taking the time.
Already.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste Time with It's The Real, Day 3 of the 12 Days of Podcast. Jeff, people want to find out more about us? I'm Eric, the curly hair. You are Jeff, the glasses. And together, curly hair and glasses are It's The Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. Jeff, people want to find out more about this podcast? It's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real. If people want to find out more about what's going on, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. No apostrophes, no spaces. There are never apostrophes or spaces in It's The Real.
You know what? You could also have answered Marvin Gaye. What's going on?
Marvin Gaye
would know. Rest in peace. You can also go to search for our podcast on iTunes or on Spotify. Search for A Waste of Time with It's The Real. We're also on SoundCloud.com/A Waste of Time or SoundCloud.com/2Jews2BlackDudes. If you're looking for our music, it's on all streaming services. Stream Teddy Bear Fresh. You know what? I was listening to Teddy Bear Fresh the other day, and I was super encouraged by the fact that it still sounds dope, and I still enjoy it. So I think to all of you out there, if you have not given our music a chance, I really, really, really think you'll fuck with it. Play the intro. Get to the end, play some songs in between. You'll hear features by Bun B and Currency and Smoke Dizza and Tunji Ige and Angie Martinez and a lot more. It's just a really dope project. I really think you guys will fuck with it. Let us know.
We're also at Instagram at It's The Real, Twitter at It's The Real, and Facebook at It's The Real.
This, of course, is the portion of the podcast where we like to shout out all of you who rep so hard for us and spread the word about our little podcast that could. And we put out another ask on Twitter, Jeff. You said, who wants to get shouted out?
I did say that.
Have people responded?
Yeah, a bunch of people.
All right. Do you want to go through them?
Okay. So, Godly MC. Shout out Godly. Yasser from Abu Dhabi. Shout me out right now. Not Blake Timmons, Young Moscato. Shout out to Brian Hasty. Shout out to Tyler Jordan. Chuck Boy. Shout out to Gerard Valet Smith. Who says he needs that shout out? Dope Boy Daryl, listening from Arizona. Shout out Young Rard. Shout out also to Rustradamus, Russell the Love Muscle. Shout out to Trill Clinton, who's rooting for the Boston Celtics in 2019. Shout out to Wally Taylor the Great. Shout out to John Plaza Plazagram. Shout out to the SGC Teen Library. Who says, get that library card. Mine is expiring in January. Shout out to Mikey G's, who says, I manage an artist named Hotel Room, a young superstar on the rise. Shout out to Tyler, who has a lot of numbers after his name. Tyler from Florida. Shout out to Johnny G from Dallas. And Elijah Horton 94, who says, bless the boy with that shout out. Not for real, for real. Shout out to all of you.
Anything else?
We've got a new episode coming out tomorrow. And for the next 8 days,
you're gonna survive?
I don't know.
All right. Check in to see. As always, guys, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
See you guys tomorrow.